Oh, you come tonight, I guarantee you we're going to have some of the best chili cookers here in this church making chili. I think, Tom, you won a cook-off a couple of years, didn't you? All right, he cooks good chili. You know, I grew up on armadillo sausage and owl eggs, and I'm sure that the chili that I make, never will forget a little lady joined our church years ago. It's been 20 years ago now, I guess. She came here from somewhere, another state. If you wasn't from Texas, I don't know where she came from. But she was telling me, I'd just been out hunting and I'd kill a bobcat. And well, I was telling about that bobcat while they was eating that stew, and about halfway through it, she was talking about how good that stew was. And I told her I killed that bobcat, and she said, "What'd you do with it?" I said, "You're eating it." I never will forget the look on that little lady's face. I thought she was going to pass out and die on me. But I told her I was just telling her a joke, and she overcame the shock. But we'll have some great chili here tonight. You come and enjoy that with us. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good master, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. Do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Not to bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come to the reading your word, and Lord, we've heard "I'm free." Beautiful. And Lord, I thank you that we are free in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning like this young man looking for eternal life, Lord, this morning, may you touch their heart at the point of their need, unlock their heart, that they might invite you into their life, that they might receive eternal life, and when they go away from here, they won't be sorrowful, but will be glad and rejoicing. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. He almost made it, I could say. He almost had it all, I could say. But the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Now, it's not teaching you here that if you're wealthy, you cannot get into the kingdom of heaven. I don't want you to think that. But this man had his wealth. He loved the world more than Jesus Christ. That's what it was. I know a lot of people, and there's a whole lot of people that really want to find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I hope and pray if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, that this morning you will receive him. Went to a funeral Monday of Rhonda's uncle, and the first thing as I went in, I talked to his wife, hadn't seen her in over 30 years. And I said, "Sue, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Bryan, Texas." She said, "Oh, mercy. Hadn't seen you in so long." You know what she told me? She told me David, her husband, had died. had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was 80 years old. She said, she told me that he had Jack Terriers out at his dog pen. He was raising those. And she had her Bible sitting out, and she was looking at it, and God had spoke to her, says, you need to talk to your husband about Jesus, for he does not know Christ. And she said, I tried for years to say something about Christ to him, and he'd always said, I don't want to hear about it. But as he came in, she said, she noticed the, he went to the cabinet there, wherever he kept his Bible, and got his Bible, and come sit down. And he said, you know, I wish somebody would tell me how to have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? 80 years old. And he said, I wish somebody could tell me how to have eternal life. And she said, you know, never before had he even thought about it, but as he was coming in, the Lord impressed on his mind, you need to think about eternity. And that's what he told her. He said, you know, I was coming in the house, and it was like God said, you need to take care of eternity. So she called her preacher friend, and he came by, and they sat down at the table and talked about how to have eternal life. And David asked Christ to come into his heart at the age of 80 years old. And he passed away at 85. And she said, for 5 years, we've been going to church. He was so happy in Christ. Folks, that is a great story about a man that one day we'll see again because he trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. This young man is about the same way. His aspiration, his strong desire or ambition was to come to know Jesus Christ. You see, he came running, the Bible says, and fell at the feet of Jesus or knelt before Jesus Christ and said, good master, how can I have eternal life? You know, it's a great thing that he was a young man when he came to Jesus Christ. I look at all these young people up here, children, and I think, praise God, we had one that was going to be baptized this morning. I forgot to heat the baptistry. It'll wait till next week. But he came to know Jesus Christ, and many of these young boys and girls have come to know Jesus Christ at a young age. It's so wonderful when they give their life to Jesus Christ at a very young age that if we keep them in church, and the Bible says on the picture there, the young person trained up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. It's so wonderful to watch them to come to know Jesus Christ and to reach out. They reach out to God while they're young, and they give their life to God. So many people nowadays are burning their life, or burning the candle of their life at both ends, and they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But this young man was eager to find out about Jesus Christ. He was a wealthy young man, the Bible says. He had great possessions. He could buy whatever he wanted to. He had land. He had barns. He had houses. He probably had CDs or whatever they had back in those things. Material possessions. Man, he had all of them. He had all of these things, and yet he was not happy within himself. He lacked the one thing. He had a hole in his heart that was supposed to have God in it, and it didn't have God in it. In all these possessions that he had, he still needed one thing. He was a young moral man, the Bible says. He was able to have kept the Ten Commandments. I couldn't do that. But he told Jesus Christ, I've kept these from my birth. In spite of all of this, the saddest thing was he almost had it all. He almost got to heaven. But he lacked one thing. He lacked the one thing that's needed most in life, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, that emptiness in his heart was supposed to be filled by the Lord, and yet the things of this world had got in his way. Many young people today, many adults, you may be one of them this morning. You're sitting right here and you have all of these things. You've done everything in your life, but you haven't come to Jesus Christ. And this morning, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the songs, through somebody's friendship, has brought you here. You're not here by accident. Don't think that you just accidentally walked into service this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're a guest of God. God brought you here. He wanted you to hear this message. He wanted you to come listen to the music. He wants to speak to our hearts this morning. You see, we need God in our life. We need that hole filled in our life. And this young man, the Bible says, knelt before the Lord. And he said, good teacher, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? You see, he asked the right question, didn't he? He's on target. He knows that there's more than the material things because he's got all of them. He knows that the body is more than just a living soul. He knows that there is an eternity because he wants to have eternal life. And he admits, I've almost got it all. But good master, I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't know. Maybe I've tried. Maybe he's tried in all the things that he had. We don't know. But he wants eternal life. And he says, how can I have eternal life? And I was just thinking this week, I'm going to be preaching this message. Some of you know just about everything. Some of you know how to invest your money somehow. Some you've made well. Some of you know how to make a living, a good living, and a good home. And some of you know how to cook. And some of you know how to sew. Some of you know a lot about different things. Yet you may be here and you know all of these things, but you say, preacher, how can I have eternal life? How do I have that which I don't have? How do I get to heaven this morning like David came in out of the clear blue and he said, I wish there was somebody that could tell me how to get to heaven. There's a flaw in his statement, though, because he said, good master, what must I do? What must I do to have eternal life? And there's some of you right here this morning that are probably thinking, what can I do, preacher, to have eternal life? I've been a good person. You see, we think sometimes if we're good people, that one day when we get to heaven, God's going to say, come on in, you've been a good person. He said, I've kept the Ten Commandments. I haven't killed anybody, and I hope and pray that none of us in here has killed anybody. But you know, you might have, but God can still forgive you. He does forgive you if you'll just ask him. There's not a sin that you have committed in your life that God will not forgive if you will just ask him. You see, God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. But let me tell you something. Eternal life is not something that you earned. I didn't earn it. I still don't deserve it. But I've got it because I accepted it from Jesus Christ. You see, it's a gift of God, the Bible says. Our society says you save, you earn, you do this, you purchase, you do all this, and one day when you get to heaven, God's going to let you in. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible strictly says nobody can get to heaven because they deserve it. You see, none of us are good, are we? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. every one of us. Our goodness, the Bible says, this is filthy rags. Salvation, my friend, is not earned. The Bible says that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. All you have to do is accept it as a gift. He died for you because he knew that you would not make it into heaven any other way than through him. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. So Jesus said, I'll go, Father. I'll go and die on the cross that my people might live. And all you have to do this morning to have eternal life is to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Now that's the young man. He desired to go to heaven. And you're here this morning and maybe you're desiring to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. If I went down and asked each one of you, had you rather spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? I think you'd all say, I want to spend an eternity in heaven. I want to be with God in heaven when I die. Well, the Lord gave him examination for this young man to see if he really needed salvation. Jesus says we need salvation, but he didn't understand that, you see. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? Jesus is going a roundabout way to get to his answer, but he wants to understand, this young man to understand, why are you saying that I'm good? Are you calling me Lord? Are you calling me God? For there's none righteous except God. No one is good except God, he says. So you must recognize me as God. Are you doing that? You see? Do you know who I am? He said that to the woman at the well. He said, if you knew who you was talking to, you would ask me for a drink. Do you understand this morning that we're no good, that we're lost in our sinful condition, and only God can save you? Only he has paid the price, not anybody else. Nothing else. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, good master, how can I have eternal life? And he says, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher, a religious man, and Jesus just cut through the chase and said, if you want to have eternal life, you must be born again. That's not talking about physical birth, but it's talking about a spiritual birth. Living right, making money, going to church, oh, that will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Only Jesus Christ is good. Jesus says, well, you know the commandments, don't you? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I shall not steal. He said, I've done all of those things. If that's all it takes to get to heaven, I have done those things. And then Jesus looks at him. I believe this young man really thought, you know what? I'm in good shape. I go to church. I give to missions. I give to the poor. I haven't killed anybody. I don't even smoke or chew. I live a healthy life. Surely, I'm all right. And I think right here is where a whole lot of us really sincerely think that some way we're going to get into heaven. We tend to have that superficial ideal of what goodness is. I don't curse. Jesus wanted this young man to go deeper than that. You see, salvation is not a mind matter, it's a heart matter. And Jesus wanted to get to the very heart of his condition and let the young man see that he was really not as good as he thinks. And he put all these commandments up in front of him to show him. You know, we need to get a good look at ourselves, don't we? I went out and went to work the other day and doing some things out in the garage and got a smudge of black appear powder. I was loading some bullets and I had some black powder on my hand. First thing you know, I touched my face. And you know, when I walked into the mirror, I looked into that mirror and I thought, what in the world have you got all over your face? The mirror showed me the dirt on my face. That's what the law did. That's what the commandments did. It showed man the dirt in their lives. That's what the Bible tells us. The Ten Commandments are there to show us that we are not good enough. How many of you have broken the Ten Commandments? I have. We've lied, we've stole, we've cheated, committed adultery. Man, if we're not good enough, are we? We need a Savior. We need somebody to pay for our sin. Jesus says, I paid for your sin, young man. The Ten Commandments showed us. That mirror showed us the dirt. But you know what? The mirror didn't clean my face. It's only when I took a rag and some water and washed my face did it come clean. And it's only when we give our life to Jesus Christ and claim the blood of Jesus Christ over our life that He forgives us. That's something else. We got to love our brothers, our neighbor, as ourselves. Run into a man a couple of weeks ago. He was a good man. I believe he's a saved man. But there's only one problem I found out real quick in his life. He could not forgive. He would not forgive somebody. I thought, man, the Bible says you've got to learn to forgive. If you're not willing to forgive them, God says, my Father can't forgive you. You see, all of these things we cannot do. It's only Christ living in us am I able to forgive and able to love. You're here this morning. You've got anger. You've got a problem with someone. Get it right. Get it right so the joy of Christ can really come out in your life and live like Christ wants you to live. You'd be surprised what will happen in your life if you learn to forgive, you learn to love one another, say good things instead of bad things. You know, I said last week, I believe it was, there's a lot of people that don't love me, and I don't understand why. But I love them. Had a man one time say, you know, I don't like you. I said, that's all right. I love you. And I'll continue to like him and love him, even if he don't like me. Because that's what God commands us to do. Love our brethren. And we must see ourselves as God sees us. And folks, that's the reason He tells us that He died for us. This young man saw himself as good. God saw himself as lost. And look at the invitation, verse 21. The Bible says, beholding him. Beholding him. He's looking at him and loved him and said to him. That means Jesus Christ actually fixed his eyes upon this young man. He looked right down into this young man's soul. The very heart of this young man. Just like he's looking at your life today. Think about it. Jesus knows every single thing about you. I don't know it. You can hide it from me if you want to, but I'm not the one who's going to judge you at the end of time. It's God. And he knows if you're angry. He knows if you're bitter. He knows if you're lying. He knows if you're stealing. He knows if you're committing adultery. He knows all about you. And he's pointing that out at your heart this very morning. And the Bible says Jesus is looking at him. And you know what it says? And loved him. Even though this young man was sinful, Jesus loved him. I believe Jesus looks at our lives and sees the potential of what we can be if we'll just let him. He sees the potential in every person here this morning. All of these young boys and girls, Jesus Christ looks at the very heart and sees what they can be. And Jesus said to this young man, you know what, young man? You've almost got it. You've almost got it all. But you lack one thing. And Jesus reached out and put his finger right on that one thing that young man lacked. And he said, young man, you've got it all except one thing. And the one thing I want you to do, and I bet he was just thinking, man, what's he going to tell me? What's he going to tell me? I can do it. He says, go sell all that you've got and give it to the poor. And come and follow me. You see, he could keep the commandments. He could go to church. He could do all of those things. But his heart was where his treasure was. And his treasure was not in God. His treasure was in the things of the world because he was a rich young man. And he said, I'm not about to give all of that up that I've worked so hard to get. I want eternal life, but you're asking too much, Jesus. And you know what? We think that's kind of stupid, don't we? To come that far. Almost have it. He's fallen at the feet of God. He says, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus has told him, and he says, go sell it all and come follow me. You'll have eternal life. Some of you are just that way this morning. The Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word, is speaking to your heart and telling your heart, listen, you've come to church, you've done all of these things, you're a good person morally, you're a good person, but let me tell you something. You do not have eternal life by being good. If you want eternal life, come follow Jesus Christ. That means you're going to have to repent. You know what repentance means? It means turn your life around. Start going to God. Start living for God. You see, I know that Jesus Christ sees the potential in you. He saw it in a man named Paul. Paul was destroying the Christians one by one. He was making havoc of the church. He was tearing the churches up. He was persecuting Christians. And God pointed his one need out on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, you got to turn your life around and follow me. And you know what he did? He turned his life around. Man. What a witness we have in this man called Paul. This young man had to make a decision. right then. And the Bible says he was sad. It was like a dark gray cloud just came over this young man. The smile left his face. The sunshine of the light went dark. And the Bible says he walked away sad because he had great possessions. Let me tell you something. Some of you have come here this morning, and Jesus is calling for a decision. Come, follow me this morning. Come to me if you want eternal life. Forget the wrong you're doing and follow me. Some of you know that you need to do that. But a lot of you be like this young man. You'll leave and walk out of here, and the dark cloud and the shadows will follow you. And you'll never receive eternal life because you have rejected the Holy Spirit. Isn't that sad? You have an opportunity to have life and have it abundantly. You have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. Instead of almost having it all, you will have it all. Because it's all Jesus's anyhow. Our lives belong to Him. He created us to have fellowship with Him, to walk in love with Him. And we've been walking the other way. Why not turn right now and come to Jesus Christ? You may be visiting here. You don't have to join this church. This church won't get you to heaven. But saying yes to Jesus Christ, you've got to do. Whether it's walking down here and saying yes to Jesus Christ or someone else, you must be born again. Would you come this morning? Some of you need salvation. Some of you already have it. But man, you're not living the abundant, joyful life because you've let the devil creep into your life. You need to get those things right. You just need to come and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, man, my life's a mess. I started out walking with you and I just messed it up. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Some of you need to do that. To really have revival in your life, you need to fall in love with Jesus Christ again. Some of you are looking for a church home and this is the place God's led you. Well, why not come? I'll be glad to share with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time of commitment. And Lord, as we make our commitments today, some of us will come down. Some of us will kneel before you. Lord, let us go away from here today making a decision for you, not go out of here with a saddened face. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.